Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of In Focus Video. This week, Adam and I are getting into and diving into all things scouting. So this is a fun one. Stay tuned. Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of In Focus Video. I'm Joseph Roybal here with Adam Goldberg Photography on the other end, coming live to you from Denver and Atlanta. This week's episode is our third installment of these episode video casts, and we are going to be talking all things scouting. So that we'll get into, but first let's say hey to Adam on the other end. Adam, how are you doing, man? How was your weekend?
Man, it was good. I had a good weekend, and I actually did something that I normally don't do, which is not work. This is the only work that I will have done this weekend, and it feels pretty good. I am one of those photographers and artists who find themselves on the weekends doing work, whether it's responding to emails, catching up on editing, doing a lot of little things for the business. I find myself doing all of that stuff. And I know that some artists and photographers say, nope, I'm not going to do anything on the weekends. That's kind of my time to step away from the business and the work that I do. But for me, it's usually at least a little bit of work over the weekend. For you, are you one of the photographers who's doing work on the weekends, or do you usually step away and say, nope, I'm taking the weekend off?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm like you. It's pretty much I'm doing work whenever and all the time, you know. But this weekend I was like you in that I took the weekend off. I went camping, got out of town. But yeah, man, I'm usually always just doing work. You know, I don't know, catching up.
Seems like there's always something to catch up on, you know.
Always. And I also feel for whatever reason I'm more productive on a Sunday or a Saturday because I don't have any pressure on me to get anything done, so I get stuff done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. So then, getting to this week's episode, what are we talking about?
Scouting, and I'm excited to hear your workflow from the landscape perspective. I do a lot of the architectural work. But I know you have a pretty cool process, and I know you're going to talk through it and show your screen here in a little bit. So I'll let you kind of introduce your process before we dive into that, but I'm excited to follow yours. And then I will chime in a little bit with some of the architectural stuff on the back end, but let's hear kind of your process.
Perfect. So to line this out for everyone that's going to be watching, the things to think about and to keep in mind from a landscape perspective, my workflow is one in which I sometimes know where I'm going and I have an idea just having seen the photographs already, or I'm completely new to the area. So this workflow that I'll go through this evening is a bit of both. So for the locations that I already have some ideas about, you know, I'll utilize Google searches just to get ideas on the photos and see what's there and all that. If I've never been someplace, I'll use Google Earth that then helps me just get ideas of the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. So tonight I'm going to be going through and showing my start off approach of Google search that then I just do images, and that will kind of help me, you know, get an idea utilizing keywords like Iceland or California, whatever. You get the idea. And then photographers of Faramis, I use all the time to get an idea of the sun and the moon, and that helps a ton. And then the last will be Google Earth that helps me kind of pan down and spin and get a 3D rendering, you know, like Adam, you probably use Google Earth quite a bit, just to get an idea of like buildings and just, I don't know, hills and things. So yeah, we'll talk about that this evening. So
awesome. I'm excited to see your workflow. So let's go ahead and let's do it.
Cool. All right. So I'm gonna share my screen over here on this end. We're gonna be doing some of that tonight, so that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be different, and let's kick off with Google and kind of go from there.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, you bet. All right, here we go. Okay. Cool. So first off, when I'm getting an idea for where I want to go or getting ideas for where I want to go, I always think on how do I get inspiration? How do I get some just general ideas? So that's here. This is looking at Google, just plain and simple. I search Google images to get these basic principles and ideas of where I might want to go when, you know, searching for the time of the year, searching for location, searching for weather for that time of the year. So really just, you know, thinking about what do you want to capture? Do you want wildflowers? Do you want snow? Do you want rain? So it's these little things that you have to think about in landscapes. Tonight, I'm going to be just focusing on one location in Iceland. Pop this in here, and then I'll utilize the Photographers of Faramis, how I work with that real fast, and then Google Earth. So let's just do this.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. I'm excited to see this because these are kind of tools I don't use on a regular basis. And so I'm hoping that not only will I find this useful, but obviously our audience is going to really get something from this. So thanks for walking us through this.
Oh man, absolutely. And I love, and so I just came back from Iceland right before, COVID hit. And so this here is just, I love Iceland. So I just thought, heck, you know, let's just do tonight real quickly on this portion of it. So some of the things I'm thinking about too, when I'm looking at these, I'm looking at purely what's been taken. Can I do it better? And this isn't the best example of a Vesterhorn because everyone photographs this. So it's one of those, it's like, man, it's been photographed so often. But point being,
It's gorgeous. I mean, these pictures that you have up are insane.
These are awesome. You know, and you look at these and of course, you know, some of this up here, they're just amazing. So when you're looking at a photo, think about like, you let Google Earth and all this or Google Images, you know, really inspire you and then go and make it your own. So, you know, I'm getting ideas here. All right. So I've never been here. I've never seen Vesterhorn. I've never seen Iceland. All right. Now I've got a good idea. Cool. So how do I then figure out where does the sun come up? Where does everything lie? You know, Adam, when you're going on these trips too, it's the same thing for you. It's like, how does this all line up, you know, sun and moon, if you will?
Yeah, no. So, and I think what you're talking about is going to be applicable to a lot of different types of photographers, whether it's landscape, architectural, wedding port photographers. Knowing where the light is going to be and when is crucial to getting a good photograph, no matter what your niche of photography is. So,
absolutely. So, exactly. So, you know, looking at this here right now, I've got this idea. So, one of the apps I love to utilize in websites, and it's free on the desktop, is the Photographers of Faramis. This is fantastic. You can buy it for your Android and iOS. You can also just come up here to the web tab, click on this, and it'll take you to the web page. So I already have it loaded though for the Vesterhorn. So I wanted to show this. So this whole idea here, just simply searching up in this search bar, typing that in, you end up dropping a pin right here on this beach or on this mountain range, essentially. But, you know, Adam, when you're looking at this, you're like, well, that's not exactly where I want the pin to be, you know? And for me, I think about, let's put this pin realistically where I would be standing based on looking at those pictures. And so then you get an idea of the sun and the moon, and you get an idea of, you know, how this is going to flow through the day. And this orange being the sunrise, the orange light in the morning, daylight, and then cruising over to, it'll get orange again probably at some point. Here we go. Eventually. There.
So is that the direction that the sun is facing or where the light is going? So just that precisely, way the audience can understand what how the this orange line means.
The orientation of it, exactly. So the sun is going to be coming up right now, Tuesday, May 26th, for tomorrow. The sun is going to be rising behind the peaks, and it's going to be setting behind the peaks as well. But you have the full day of light. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So like you're saying, you're going to have light then the entire day on the peaks.
Exactly. So you're able to see with this orange line as I move through the day, light here, you know, it's going to come up and it'll be right behind the peaks right in here. And then it'll be coming and going all along. So then you get an idea of just how that sun will track through the sky. So you can essentially photograph these peaks all day long. And then when the sun sets behind the peaks, then you can get a really dramatic, amazing sunset. So think of this too. You know, when I'm thinking of this right now, I'm thinking, man, that sunrise comes off, you know, on the northeast. It comes up over those peaks. I could get a sun star as it rises over the top of those mountains. As it sets off to the northwest, same thing at sunset. I could get a sun star, or, you know, but I've got all day. So does that help, Adam, for you, you know, on your end there to kind of understand what I'm thinking when I'm looking at this map?
Yeah, I mean, this is so helpful for, I would say, scouting really any location. So for someone like me who doesn't really use this very much on the architectural side, again, I can just search the location, put the pin exactly where I want it, and I'll know where the sun is going to be. So this is extremely helpful for me, and hope that it would be here for audience as well.
For sure. So this is how I use the Affirmis, and this is obviously, you know, like a quick kind of like run through, but you can also put up here, you know, so I was there in February. So I was there, I'll just go back to the date, and I was there February, let's just say 26th of this year. So same place on the pin, but here when I slide, you can see the difference of how the sun sets and then how the sun rises. So if you, for me in my visual mind, if I just take and I put the pin like right up against those peaks, then I get a really good idea of thinking, okay, the sun comes up and bam, right there. It starts hitting the peaks and lighting them up all day long. And then the sun sets right there. So you have sunrise and sunset and the light hits the mountain all day long, no real shadows. So if you're thinking, I want to get the sun on these peaks, then you think, all right, I'm going to just use the Affirmis to get an idea of this lines up in the calendar of the year. Or the year in the, you know what I mean. So
that's great. And like I said, it shows too how the sun changes position at different points of the year. So knowing exactly when you're going to be in a location is critical to understanding how the light is going to hit, whether it's a mountain, a building, or your, you know, two people who you're photographing for portraits, wedding, etc.
So you can, like, you know, wedding photographers, you know, Adam, like, you know, for architecture, like you said, you can just get a really good solid idea dialed in on, all right, you know, I want the sun to be, you know, if you were wanting to essentially highlight this side, you know, if you moved the pin over and just, then you would think, okay, well, clearly February isn't the best time of the year for sunrise. You know, this could be any mountain. The idea though here is that you're like, all right, sunrise might be a little tough, but sunset is perfect. And conversely, if you wanted to photograph this peak over here, sunrise would be better. Sunset would be a little harder.
No, that's totally makes sense. And I think anyone who's watching this hopefully can, like I said, get a little bit of an initial understanding of how you scout and how you can potentially use this tool.
Yeah, so this is great. So then I use this in conjunction with, and I know you do as well, Adam, you talk about it, Google Earth. And so let's pop over into Google Earth and I'll do a quick showing of how it's really similar to this, but you get a lot more of a feel and a look at these peaks in anywhere you're really looking. So let's pop over to Google Earth.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, cool. So now we've gone over into Google Earth and I have gone ahead and preloaded Vesterhorn, but let's go ahead and I'll just show the quick steps. When I come into Google Earth, what I'm doing here is just doing exactly what the Affirmis has done, starting with my initial search, you know, going backwards, starting with my initial search for the images, then using the Affirmis to get an idea of the sun and the moon. And now I really want to get an idea, what does this really look like more so? So I've gone ahead and I've typed in Vesterhorn, Iceland up here in the top in the search bar. So
Joe, actually, before you jump into that, my thing is, so I know a lot of folks probably are really familiar with Google Maps. as you're kind of getting Correct. Set up here, is Google, for our audience maybe who doesn't know, is Google Earth a separate application? How does it work and why is it so much better maybe than just trying to pull up Google Maps and using that yeah. as your resource here instead of Google Earth?
Well, so yeah, absolutely. So Google Earth is separate to Google Maps. You do need to download Google Earth. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but Google Earth is more of a standalone app that you download, and then it runs, you know, off of the data, you know, the imagery that like Google Maps would utilize. But with Google Earth, you're able to get a lot more, you know, intimate with the landscape, if you will, by panning and zooming. And that I'll show as well with this example.
I would agree. It's definitely more robust than Google yeah. Maps and gives you a lot more ability to really hone in on
exactly.
the location and get a perspective of what am I going to see when I get on site?
Yeah, exactly. So this right here, you know, and for everyone watching this right now, you know, anytime we've used Google Maps, we can go to the satellite view and this is what we would see. We would see the satellite view of, you know, I'll just zoom out here, but we would see the satellite view of wherever we're at. So, you know, like Denver, Iceland, Chicago, anywhere, we would see it. But the beauty of, and so now I'll go ahead and I'll zoom in on this area. So thinking back, we had our pin, you know, in Photographer's Epheromis, more so on the beach. And so we would know that would be somewhere down in this area, you know, down in this little portion of the beach, essentially. So if we zoom into this, and then by holding some of the keys here, like shift, option, command, but when we zoom in, holding the shift key, this lets us click with the mouse and pan, and we can get, now we're able to start looking around and really being able to get an idea of like, okay, wow, look at those mountains. It's so cool how this all works.
Yeah, it's like a 3D view almost of
it is.
Of this space. And so obviously it's not like being on the beach, but you can kind of, like you said, really see, wow, this is the perspective that I'm gonna see, and you can match that up with the Photographer's Epheromis.
Exactly. So looking at this, when we think back to the photograph that we had on the initial Google image search, then we did the Epheromis, but this right here looks pretty dang close to what we saw on Google, the people's photographs, the other photographers who have been there. And yeah. if you really want to, you can take the little drag to street view, and this is kind of fun. You can put them, and we'll see how this works, but should kind of drop us in to street view. And there you go. And this is a very, more or less, I don't even say nuts and bolts, but this is like,
that's, you know, crazy.
Isn't that insane? So if you think about this for your workflow as a landscape photographer, wedding photographer, getting an idea of where's the sun going to be from at, et cetera, it's really pretty, pretty powerful. So that is more or less my showing of how I scout. So I'm going to go ahead and stop my screen share here and come back to Adam.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I mean, I think that hopefully gives our audience an idea of it's really three tools. It's Google, the Photographer's Epheromis, and
which is built off Google,
which is built off of Google, and then Google Earth. Yeah. And you can totally plan a shot in a location that you've never seen, that you have no opportunity to get to beforehand, and have a pretty good idea of what you're going to see, which is so impressive because we don't always have time to get to a location beforehand. Sometimes you have one shot to snag the photo that you're looking for, whether it's landscape. I mean, this is for any niche really of photography. It's not just landscape.
Yeah, totally. 100%. And that's so true, because, you know, like when you're going to work for a client, you're essentially saying, all right, I'm going to be there on this date. I've got one day, I've got one morning, one evening. I go to Iceland for 10 days. I've got 10 days, but maybe I have one day of weather that works well. And, you know, all of us can attest to the fact, like when we've gone someplace, like weather's just doesn't work. So if you have these ideas, you're just like, oh my God, like I know already what it's all going to do. I know what it's going to look like. I've never been there.
Yeah. So, and some locations are easier to figure out than others. Sometimes maybe, you know, on the West Coast, San Francisco, you know where the sun's going to set. Obviously, you don't necessarily know the angle, so you don't necessarily need to do as much planning for it. But in a place like Iceland, especially because it's so far north, you're dealing with maybe in some cases 24 hours of sunlight in some cases. So it's like, where's the sun really going to be?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So how do you utilize scouting? You know, like just thinking on the landscape side of things or the architectural side of things, that is an area that I'm not as familiar with at all. And that's your wheelhouse. So how do you utilize or how do you scout for some of your work?
Yeah. So, you know, Google Maps is usually honestly the first place I start. Someone gives me an address, I'm going to type it in, get an idea of the location. Where is the building? What direction does it face? Some of those kind of basic things. So that's usually where I start. And then from there, I will maybe start to dive into some other things like Google Earth to get a better idea of like I said, kind of that 3D view, if you will, mm-hmm. of the location. But really for architectural work, there's nothing like actually going on site and scouting the space beforehand if you can. You can look at Google Earth and, you know, the photographers of Faramis and get an idea of where the sun's going to be, but how the architect designed the building and how it was built by the builder, you don't know really how the light's going to impact maybe something on the outside, the inside, if there's another building in the way that you couldn't see on Google Maps because it's new as well, and so it's not there. Obviously, if you're out of town, maybe sometimes that scouting can be a little bit more of a challenge. Maybe try and get there a day before if you can, so that way you can see how the light hits the space a little bit if you can. But going on site, especially if you can go with your client and talking through their vision for how they designed the space. And what they're looking for is so important and vital. Again, it can't happen every time. I don't do it for every shoot. Sometimes there's not time. Mm-hmm. You can't for many reasons. Maybe it's a smaller shoot. You don't really feel like you need to go and do that scouting. But when you do have some of those bigger shoots, it's really good to get on site, especially with the client, and see mm-hmm. the space and the light, talk through the shots that they want, and you'll be able to deliver a better product for two reasons. One, you know what the light looks like, which is huge. And then that's the huge. Other reason is you've talked through the shots with your client of, this is what I'm thinking. This is kind of where I'm going to put my camera. Here's how the light's going to hit. Does that work for you?
Sure. That's huge. You know, and that's something that I think that is a really, really valid point that you brought up, is the whole spending the time beforehand, like a day before, and getting an idea of the light, you know, even on any, you know, genre, if you will, like within the craft.
Yeah. And that's the thing. This is applicable across the board.
It is. Yeah.
Just landscape or architectural photographers that this applies to. Like I said, this is kind of anybody. And you know, to even take it a step further for on the architecture side, I take notes when I'm scouting. So that way I'm like, okay, I'm going to kind of do this with this shot. And I take a couple shots either with my DSLR, just kind of handheld real quick, or even my iPhone. iPhones have amazing color clarity and color accuracy. So it's a good reference point actually maybe later when I'm kind of like, well, what color was that wall really? And so then I can, you know, paint in the right color in post-production if I'm not really sure where it is, because maybe two of my shots kind of had a slightly different color. I can be like, okay, let's look at the iPhone shot and say, what one maybe is a little bit closer to the reality of that wall was, or that piece of furniture or whatever. And again, the day before too, having those shots from your iPhone, you can kind of flip through them to remind yourself of what that space looks like to help you prepare better for the shoot.
I like that. I hadn't even thought about that. That's really a good tip for everyone listening to this, you know, that's interested in the architectural side, which I've kind of spoken about doing a bit of, but never thought about the importance of, like, you think of like the iPhone or any camera phone, like really not messing with your white balance. And so you just take a shot and that would make sense. That'd be pretty standard, true to life.
Yeah. Again, it's not perfect, but at least again, if you're unsure of kind of which way to go on a color, you have another reference point, which is always nice.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, you made a comment earlier, and I know we had kind of talked about it, or it's something that I've been curious about. So when, you know, you mentioned, and this kind of goes back towards like the business of photography and some of the things we've talked about previously, scouting,
yes,
charging, how do you build in your rates and how do you build, you know, cause like you said you would go a day early. And so for people watching this, they're thinking like, they might be thinking, man, like that's 2 days though. So how do you feel about that?
So for me, most of the time I don't charge for scouting. For me, that is kind of the cost of doing business. I kind of have that a little bit built into my rates. Not fully, but you know, I kind of take into account that there might be some shoots where I have to go do some scouting. For me, I don't charge for it separately most of the time, just because for a lot of the clients, I feel like I have a really good relationship with them. And so it's not something that I would feel comfortable charging them for when it's all it's going to do is help not only me take better photos, but help me then deliver better images. So that way they want to use me again.
Right.
And so again, I kind of take that as it's the cost of doing business. That being said, if it's a new client, I might charge them for a scout, or I might make sure I get my signed contract and deposit before I go and scout. Because I don't want to go and scout a space and then basically it's an interview essentially for the job. And so they might be bringing in two or three other photographers and you go and you spend your time scouting because you think you have the job. And then they decide to go in a different direction, maybe because again, they brought in two or three other photographers to kind of get their idea of, well, what's your vision for capturing this space? My hope is that you talk to me on the phone or email, you've seen my work online.
Yeah.
We're ready to move forward. And so if you want me to come and actually scout and see the space, we should be in an agreement at that point. Like I said, if it's a new client, I'll probably want a deposit as well to make sure that
That's really smart.
I'm covered for my time. Cause like you said, it is time, it's money. Those two things overlap when you're talking the business of photography and you run your own business.
Yeah.
There's always exceptions, I would say too. I have a couple times gone without a signed contract agreement, whatever you want to say, or deposit, and everyone needs to do what they're comfortable with. So this is what I do. It might not work for every photographer.
Right.
Some folks might want to go and do that scout and be willing to do it without a signed agreement on a regular basis. And that certainly, if that's working for you, or you think that's going to work for you, or your market is different than the market that I'm in, then like, go for it and do it. Do what you need to do, not only to get new clients, but also to make your clients happy. And so if that is scouting as you're trying to gain new clients and kind of taking it as an interview, do it.
That's good info.
And, you know, I think too of, you know, we've talked about scouting with the light, and you know, now we kind of talked a little bit about how do you charge for that. You know, I think if you're talking some other different niches within photography, whether it's a wedding photographer, portrait photographer, engagement shoots, whatever, you know, getting an understanding of the spaces that you're going to be shooting in, right. I think all of what we've talked about here applies. And the scouting in that instance, you can probably do a lot of that online, certainly from a lot of the prep standpoint, you know, utilizing the tools, Joe, that you talked about.
Yeah.
And then because you don't necessarily have to walk the space with a client, you could probably just zoom out to a location, just be like, okay, this is what the light's going to be at 5 o'clock. Cool. And leave. Totally. You know, if you're doing some of these other different niches of photography, so it might be, especially if it's close by, it might be easier for you to kind of do that scout and not necessarily, you know, really there's no need to charge. And we're going to bring a wedding photographer on here and he can, yeah, he or she can talk about, you know, what that, you know, how their process is with that. But that's just kind of my initial thought is probably not something you need to charge. And I bet a lot of these folks they go to the same places because they get used to it. They know what the light's going to be. And so it just becomes a process for them. Oh, in October at this location, I know what the light's going to be. So we'll start at this time.
Totally.
The engagement session and
yeah,
we're knocked out. We're good to go.
Right. Yeah, totally. You know, and it's the same thing with going back to the, you know, three trips now to Iceland, going to the same locations, you just get, you know, you get an idea of the light in different times of the year, different weather, you know, it just helps. So essentially like really being, I don't want to say aware, but what's the word here?
It's knowledge just and tools that
familiar,
you can use.
Familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a familiarity with it. And so you can take right. that knowledge with everything that you know online, plus all of your other knowledge and skills and everything, and have an idea of what a space is going to look like a certain time of year.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. I love how you broke that down a bit, talking about the bit of the business side of it too, because for me, it's more of like my time is valuable. So I want to make sure that my time's important to me and it's valuable, but it's a personal thing. You know, or I might be with a client, you know, some of this here, never been to Iceland the first time, but I was taking a client for the very first time on a private workshop. So it was like, man, I got to make sure I know what I'm doing. Kind of the same thing you do. So yeah. And then bringing back that whole full circle to the whole scouting and charging or not, you know, I think that's great. So yeah, I don't know. Anything else that you have on your end for the scout bit?
I'm looking through my notes. I mean, I don't think so. I think we hit on a lot of good stuff. I mean, we talked about if you can see the location beforehand, I think if you can do that, you know, no matter what type of photography you're doing, if you can get there a day or two early and see what you're working with, that's the ideal scenario.
Totally. So, you know, and with this, you know, this recording in the notes, we're going to put the apps that we talked about, you know, all of this we talked about, the links to Google Earth, Faramis, anything that Adam might come up with too.
Some of the apps I use, and I'll just hit them on real quick. PhotoPills is great too if you're on site, and there's other different apps like that. It'll show you, it's got like a sun and moon AR, so it uses your phone's camera to show you where the sun is currently and then where it's going to be at different times of the day. So kind of similar, I think, to the Faramis, but it's kind of, okay, I'm actually standing on site right now and it'll give you that information. So PhotoPills is something I use, and we can definitely put that in the show notes as well. And then I think, again, on the architectural photography front specifically, if you can walk the space with your client, and we said get to a site a day or two beforehand, but separately kind of, and off of it is, again, walk the site with your client. It sets expectations. You see the light with them. You're going to be able to take a better photo that meets their needs at the end of the day, if you're able to do that.
Seriously. Yeah, or totally. And, you know, like for me and like that going back, just spending the time, like you're saying too, but spending that time, you know, and I didn't hit it, you hit it, and I pointed it out, is getting there the day before. You know, I always count on the landscape side of things, day number one is like, don't even count it. It's, you know, it's just getting an idea of this, and even maybe 2 days of sun here, sun there, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that. It's just.
And I think obviously, again, we're talking about kind of that ideal scenario. You can get there a day or two before, and that's awesome. And that's the ideal state. When you can't, that's when especially some of these other tools come in handy, because if you're on a vacation, you only have, you know, one day to hit a certain location, you're going to want to make sure that you've a Faramis and Google Earth, that we know exactly where you're going to stand. You know where the light's going to be. Hopefully nature cooperates and you can get the shot that you're looking for.
And that's the idea. Get the shot.
It's like, come on, Mother Nature. Cool. Give me
come
the
on
light.
Mother Nature.
Give me the light.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Well, I'm pretty pumped on this episode. I know that we, you know, we covered a lot of, you know, I don't know, useful topics here that were pretty broad spectrum to everyone watching and the different styles and types of photography. But, you know, this was a lot of fun and I would really love, you know, people, any comments, feedbacks, questions, you know, below, then that way in the comments area, we can answer those. And then that will, you know, I'm sure if someone's thinking something, you raise it, we answer it. I'm sure other people are thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a process for all of us here. So I'm just having so much fun doing this weekly. I get to hang out virtually with one of my best friends from, you know, across the nation here. He is a Pats fan, which is a bummer, but that's okay.
We all have our flaws, right?
Yeah.
And not a big deal that we don't have Tom Brady. So, you know.
Right. Oh, right.
People probably care a lot less about the Patriots and Patriots fans than maybe they did before. But, in all seriousness, it was fun. Like you said, this was a fun episode. I'm glad that we were able to kind of do a screen share and kind of show
people
some of our workflow. We're going to be doing that more in future episodes. So stay tuned to hopefully some more of this kind of hands-on learning and how we go through our processes and do things.
Absolutely. So I guess any last words?
I don't think so. I'll let you kind of close it out here.
All right. Well, this is going to be take one. Hopefully we get it in the first take. You know, it's my first one here.
Adam, we do everything one take. So
we do. Hopefully. That's the fun with this show too, is we don't cut and retake. You're getting us in our, at our best. Yeah. So really thanks everyone for tuning in. I'm going to look down here, but you know, this has been a fun episode. Be sure to check us out. You can find this video podcast, on YouTube, In Focus Videocast. You know, definitely please subscribe, tell everyone about us. It helps us out, you know, and we love sharing this content with you. We send out these videos every Friday. So we're recording today. It'll be on Friday this week. We're also on, and help me here on Adam, on this Adam, on we're on Spotify and iTunes.
Yep, we're on Spotify and iTunes, yep.
So you can search for us there. And then also too, you know, we didn't talk about it at the beginning, but, you know, thank you to all those that have served, you know, everything.
Yeah, it is Memorial Day. So
it is Memorial Day. And so, you know, thank you to everyone, all of the armed forces. We talked about that at the beginning, but definitely need to make a mention there. So
yeah, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and do this without all of their support and service. So big thank you.
Big thank you. So, yeah. So until next week's video.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in.
And, thanks, Joe. We'll appreciate
see
it.
You then.
See ya.
Yeah, Adam. Bye. All right, man. Stay classy.
Yeah. You too. Bye.